Now, what's the connection between plants and solving crimes? Well, the answer is Dr. Mark Spencer, who's our next guest, and he's a forensic botanist. Delighted to welcome him to the show. Morning, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me on. Good morning.
And you're definitely up there in the top three of titles of the year with Murder Most Florid. That's a fantastic title.
Well, thank you very much. I think it was a subconscious bon homage to Dawn French, I realised, after I came up with the title.
Of course, yes, of course. So I've got to confess that before I researched your life, I'd never heard of a forensic botanist. Is it a common job?
It's fair to say there's not many of us,
right,
really. Worldwide, I would guess there's probably less than 50. In the UK, there's about two or three of us who practice, probably.
Incredible. Yep. And you kind of fell into it by accident, really, didn't you? You were working at the Natural History Museum. You were a curator of the National Herbarium.
Yes. So I used to look after our British and Irish plant collection. There's about 660,000 plant specimens in that particular collection at the museum, out of a total of 80 million, all told, of
Amazing.
Everything they have there. And basically, I just got a phone call one day, and basically a police force needed some help trying to estimate how long a person's remains had been lying in the position they were near a river.
Right.
They'd identified the person, they knew who they were, but they needed me to take a look and work out how long they'd been there by looking at the vegetation.
Okay, now that seems something which is a bit bewildering for most of us, I would guess, to work out how you know how long somebody's been somewhere by the vegetation. But I think you were rescued in this place by Himalayan balsam.
Oh, you have done your homework. You've read it, haven't you? I'm very impressed. Yes, I mean, to a non-botanist, most plants are, basically green blobs,
And, yeah.
Some police officers, they'll see two bushes the same size and they'll go, oh, they're both the same age, aren't
yes.
they? A Himalayan balsam, even though it's quite a large plant, is an annual and it grows very, very quickly. So we were able to, just by looking at the vegetation of the Himalayan balsam regrowing, basically, around the human remains, to provide a sort of estimate for how long the person had been there. So, yes, the Himalayan balsam and a couple of the other plants nearby helped give us an estimate, which more or less off the top of my memory banks, so it's a bit rusty now, about 4 or 5 months, I think, it had been there.
How amazing that you could do that. And when you went to do the job, I mean, obviously the body wasn't there anymore. It had been taken off to the mortuary, but the kind of smell of death must have pervaded it, which is not what you're used to smelling at all, is it?
No, probably smelling roses is probably what
you're
used to smelling. I mean, whilst the most of the person's remains had been taken away, there was a lot left behind, and it was an extremely intense smell. I talk to other people who work in the field, and the first experience you get of it sticks in your memory very strongly.
Mm.
It is an extremely intense experience, to the nose, definitely.
Mm. So it's something that you carried on doing, and you became known as That Flower Bloke by the police. I think it's lovely. I love that. It's great, isn't it? It's not the Sweeney, is it, to be fair?
Not really. No. Butchness is not one of my strong points.
And so they call you now on a regular basis to do this kind of thing. And let's talk about some of the things that are kind of important in your line of work. For example, the humble bramble. To us, it's a bramble. To you, it's a dream.
Yeah. Well, brambles are, even though they're kind of messy on the outside, to most human beings, you just see this horrible thicket of thorns and everything. Brambles are really, really handy after in crime scene work for me very often because, for example, if you've got a body in a shallow grave or lying on the surface, if they've been there for a few months or a few years, the vegetation, in this case brambles, grow around them, and the plant actually locks the person into the environment in many ways. And with a bit of experience and a bit of practice, looking at the bramble stems and how they regrow, you can use that as a means of estimating how many years somebody's remains have been in the landscape.
Amazing.
And that can be really, really important. So, in the early stages of an investigation, just after somebody's found, the police may not know who they are. There may not be any personal identification, things on, like, say, a credit card or something. And they need to know, was it 2010, 12 or whatever, as a means of looking in the missing person records and such like for helping speed the investigation on. So the vegetation can really help speed up an investigation in those stages. as well as help us understand what happened.
Fascinating. And it's not only alive vegetation that you deal with. For example, there's a story about two tiny pieces of leaf which had been recovered from the victim of a violent sexual assault. And you had to then identify what was just basically a battered greenish-brown fragment.
Yes, I mean, us botanists, you know, like gardeners, we like identifying plants generally from a large, healthy plant specimen or a well-collected herbarium specimen, as we call it, which is a preserved dried plant. Doing forensics, we don't get that luxury. What we often have to do with these tiny fragments, in this particular case, it was about 2 or 3 millimetres of coros. And I spent many hours kind of sweating down a microscope, looking and pondering, and then had a bit of a eureka moment when I remembered some characters on the surface of the leaf and thought, aha. And this was when I was still working for the Natural History Museum. I was able to run into the museum collection, grab some specimens and use those specimens to compare with what I had in front of me as a means of validating and confirming what I'd identified.
Yeah.
And from that, we were able to go out into the landscape and find place, the two most likely places where the crime had occurred because the plants grew in this particular area.
So silver birch was the thing, and you were able to then give the detectives where the scene of the crime was then?
Yeah, because, you know, birch, you know, is a common tree in much of Britain, and, you know, it's very common in streets and most, but in this particular area, there wasn't much of it. So, you know, in the landscape around this particular area, there were hardly any birch trees, and there were just one or two individuals nearby, and the foliage was sort of localised around them. So that helped the police, you know, focus their search, because in this particular case, the victim was so traumatised by the experience that they couldn't remember in detail where they had been. This is a fairly common event, you know, when somebody's been through something like this. So if I'm able to, A, pinpoint likely areas, the police can focus their further forensic examinations, but they can also then direct their, you know, their witness inquiries, you know, did anybody see anything in this particular location at a particular time and things like that. So the botany helps, again, kind of help us understand how things happened and can sort of drive forward the investigation a bit.
You did have a role model in all of this, and it goes back to a guy called Dr. Arthur Koehler. And back in 1932, this is quite interesting story of him who convicted.
Yes, amazing man.
His evidence convicted the man who had murdered the infant son of the very famous aviator Charles Lindbergh.
Absolutely. Koehler is an incredible man. He was a superb wood anatomist. He studied forestry and woods and trees, and he was able basically to identify the source of the wood that came from the ladder that the kidnapper and ultimately murderer used to take the child, where it came from, what wood mill in America, but also to look at other pieces of the wood that were found from the ladder and identify them with parts of the suspect's home and say, look, actually, this had to have come from this building. He ripped the boards up and reused them to make a ladder. So it was really, really important evidence in the case of the Lindbergh murder inquiry. But it was also really important for us botanists because it was the first time really in American criminal history that somebody actually made a very clear statement that us botanists were essentially what we now call expert witnesses.
Yeah.
We were more than just mere flower boys kind of thing.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. How much has technology come into your work as the years have gone on? Are you helped in any way by tech or not?
I mean, a lot of it is basic biological and botanical knowledge and understanding the environment. You know, a lot of it is just looking, you know, with a hand lens, you know, using your skills and experience to identify stuff. We are definitely on the brink of a shift. I mean, the world of DNA and sequencing DNA and using those tools to identify where people may be is something that is going to become really important, I think, in the future. We've just got probably a few more bumps to smooth out with regard to things like costs and finding a new way of presenting this information that is not really hard for a jury and court to process, because, you know, biological data like this is quite challenging.
Years ago, I was walking through a field and I said to myself, somebody somewhere must invent an app for your phone that does the same as the one does with music. So you played a bit of music, it looks through a database, it identifies. I would have thought that had been a walk in the park, if you pardon the pun, for somebody to build an app. And somebody did build one and I bought it and it was rubbish.
They are, most of these apps, you know, they're algorithm-based and they're learning tools, and the more images that are going into them, the better they get. But they do have their limitations, because actually lots of botany is based upon actually ultimately identifying plants by very subtle characters that you need to look down a microscope at. Yeah. And, you know, clearly those cameras and those that imaging doesn't work on that scale. So they are fun and useful. But as things stand, they're unlikely to replace, you know, having museum collections and, you know, detailed expertise in using microscopes.
I'm not going to be getting a call anytime soon then from the Spanish police to go and help them with my app.
Probably not, I'm afraid.
No, fair enough. Well, I don't think you're going to be beaten with only a couple of weeks to go for the title of the year, so congratulations, Mark. Murder Most Florid is the name of the book. It's been really good talking to you today. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Mark.
No, it's a pleasure.
All the best. Cheers.